And now,
check this out.
It's Crunch Time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score.
Well, hey there, hi there, ho there. We're as happy as we can be. We've got things. A lot of football tonight. MLB playoffs taking place as we speak live from the ATL. 1-0 Bravos, still early, third inning. Josh Donaldson drives in a run, plates Albies on a fielder's choice in the first inning, mind you, because it wouldn't be a playoff game this time of year in 2019 without somebody scoring right out of the get-go. But pitchers, Dallas Keuchel, Nicholas Nickleby for the Cardinals, I've just given up. As you guys well know, sometimes, man, I know everything. Otherwise, I'll talk about a guy 11 times during the year and never get his name right. Mykolas. Is that right? Just act like it's Miles and think my again. Miles Mykolas, the big righty for St. Louis.
Is it Mykolas or is Mykolas? Is it like Nicholas but with a my at the front? I thought it was Mykolas.
Miles Mykolas. It's definitely my.
Right.
So it's Miles Mykolas, I would say. Yeah, yeah. Why I don't...
Because it's spelled like Nicholas with an M.
Hey, figured out 45 minutes ago Houston was in the American League.
Oh, well,
baby
yeah.
steps.
Yeah, there's a pile of money here that says otherwise.
Man, the disappointment last night. The Braves are just choke artists. That's 12 straight, did they say? Facing elimination, they haven't responded once since 1973. When it has to go back to me in middle school, that's an LATA, long-ass time ago. When Reggie Jackson went yard in Game 7 against the METS Mets in 1973. And to the fans' misery, they basically don't have the decency to get swept or get destroyed. I mean, you know, you think about the series against the Yankees and they lose in five and they lose to the Twins and the Moneyball series comes up short in the best of five. And it's like, yo, everything is a torture. So on today's program, a shortened program, mind you, because we've got NFL football coming your way at 5:15. If you were tuned in during the last break, Steve Rabel and the guys will pick up. They've got their pregame going on, but we'll be bringing you Crunch Time in the first hour and 15 minutes of sports talk before we throw it to the north. Big game. Oh, it's a biggie. Rams in that obviously highly overrated defense taking on Seattle, first place in the NFC West on the line. I'll keep you updated here. We've got the Doyers with Bueller, throwing against the wild card winning. Who won the wild card game? Milwaukee lost, right? Yeah, that was a heartbreaker against Washington. And they'll throw Patrice Corbin will be taking his turn. So we got that going for us. We got you guys. You'll do in a pinch. 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. As for our guests, well, we'll use our usual segments to wrap up Crunch Time with a lightning round. We'll wrap up the first hour and only full hour of sports talk with Talking Trash. And at 4:30, we'll talk Cal football with Todd McKim of the Da Bears Sports Network. Little timeline miscommunication yesterday, but a double dose of text verification today. Who was it that? Oh, yeah, when Andrew Luck decided to retire, there was a really snooty text from Doug Gottlieb, our old buddy who used to be the lead into our show, saying that him not wanting to rehab was the most millennial thing ever. And he really got raked over the coals, and deservedly so. So jokingly, when this story hit today, the Jets' Sam Darnold, you know, who's suffering from mononucleosis, said he feels ready to play but won't risk his life. And my first thought was, huh, millennials, am I right? Not willing to risk dying over a football game, brat. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So the Oakland A's, which I know have a really big following here, obviously a huge Bay Area connection with Eugene and Berkeley and, I don't know, maybe San Jose and Palo Alto and Oakland. And I think you know the places I speak of. Another disappointing finish for a program who always seems to overcome their shoestring budget, put together a competitive team, if not a good team. 97 wins is a really, 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 really good team. But they go with a whimper. And like I said, the last time they won an elimination game, they were rarely, people know that in the early 70s, they used to play the best of 11. An elimination game. Game 7 of the 73 series where Reggie Jackson hit a big home run en route to his first series MVP to take on Yogi Berra's Mets. And just an awful start. The leadoff homer surrendered by Sean Manaea. The offense could not solve Charlie Morton. The Rays send him packing 5-1. And if you remember, a year ago, same thing. In the first inning, facing the Yankees, Andrew McCutchen walks. Aaron Judge, first postseason at-bat, hits bomb. Then in the sixth inning, they expand up 2-0 on Oakland. They tee off on Fernando Rodney and Blake Treinen and send Oakland packing again, 7-2 in the wild card game. And if you guys remember, the last time before that when they were in the wild card, it was a horrifying loss. They lost to Kansas City, the eventual American League champions, 9-8 in 12 innings, where they were up 7-3 in the bottom of the eighth. You know, the two seasons before that, they got Verlandered out in Game 5. I mean, Justin Verlander, a dominating 3-0 shutout. And then the previous year, Verlander, 6-0. So in 2006, down 3-0 to the Tigers. They blew a 3-0 lead, tied it in the home ninth. And if you remember, the Maglio Ordonez 3-run series-ending homer off Houston Street, who spells his name wrong with no O. And then, of course, the Moneyball era. I don't think people realize that they lost 3 straight game fives in the divisional round. And, was it 4 straight? Yeah, 4 in a row. The first year was to the Yankees. Then in 2001, the Jeter flip in Game 3, where they were up 2-0. And if Stonehead Giambi would have just remembered to slide, they might have won that series. In 2002, think of the... What's so funny?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, as an umpire in that situation, you're trying to, like, judge a play call, and all of a sudden, you're, like, following the ball in, you're getting yourself into position to try and make a call. All of a sudden, you're seeing Derek Jeter run from literally no man's land to a place where no player has ever been in the history of baseball.
Aside from a catcher.
Right, catching a pop-up or whatever, trying to field the bunt, and it's Derek Jeter doing a flip backhanded. He's got to be like, what the hell is going on here? Then he's got to be like, oh no, there wasn't a slide. Ah, was there a tag? Ah, did he touch the plate? Out. And then I'm like, okay, so if that were to happen today replay, we would still, baseball would have paused in 2001, and like yesterday they would have been like, he's safe or he's out. Like, we finally got
figured
that
it out.
Definitive angle that tells us
there
that
really
Giambi
wasn't
was right
one.
Oh, there wasn't.
Well, what probably would have happened if whatever, the call would have stood, not been confirmed.
But it would have taken an hour and a half to get him there. Because you know baseball would have been like, did he get to the plate? Was he tagged? Was he there? Ooh, it'd have been bad. And, plus, I mean, if you imagine if he slid there and still got called out, people would be like, why wouldn't you? Why weren't you running full speed down the pump, like down the third base line through home plate? You don't
I think I think if he slid the semi-high toss, I don't think Posada gets it down. I think he's in there. Oh. I always have thought that. And then, if you remember the final baseball scene in Moneyball, Ray Dorm is up. And he hits a pop-up. That also was a one-run game in a do-or-die fifth game. And, you know, you see the Twins start mobbing each other. And by the way, then in 2003, it was the Red Sox in Game 5 in another one-run heartbreaker behind Pedro Martinez, who got the best of Barry Zito. That game, I mean, of all the aggravation of Giambi not sliding, the A's staff in that game threw 8 shutout innings. As many of you know, they play 9. And in the 6th inning, I actually had to go back and look at this. I kind of remembered because I'm insane. But Jason Varitek hit a solo shot. And then Manny Ramirez hit that 3-run jack. And so the have been nothing but fail with their backs to the wall for 20 years. And yeah, I guess you go back to 1990. They got swept by the Reds and facing elimination in Game 4. They've lost. So while they've provided some great moments. With the money on the table, they get beat by either a better hand or they roll snake eyes. What the hell was that?
That was a runners on first and second, ground ball to Donaldson at third. He charges up the line, steps on the bag with his left foot, fires across the diamond, and I thought it was going to be a close play. Then I remembered there was a Molina running, and I think
Oh my God!
Yadier was about 45 feet down the line.
All right, I defy anybody, if you guys see this play, the angle is up the first baseline now, and Freeman makes the play. The runner's not in the picture. He's 7 feet short of the bag.
No, that's what, yeah, the joke about we have where like, oh, you have to put a Molina on second base in every second or extra inning game.
Right.
It's because they're the slowest baseball players on the planet.
Wow, that was actually comical. So first and second, nobody out, turns into man on second, 2 outs. Cardinals still batting. Paul, every time you go away, DeYoung is at the plate now facing Dallas Keuchel. 4th inning with the Atlanti on top. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. There is college football tonight, but I'm so trained. I have, you know, when you regularly visit a website, especially like ESPN or CBS, they have it kind of at your default settings. So if you bring up just like I always want to see what the top 25 games are, and I often look at it and I'm like, no, there's no games. And it's like, no, you dummy. It means there's no top 25 games. So I've reset it to just FBS, and there are 2 games tonight. The reason I bring that up is just for gamblers. Georgia Southern, South Alabama. If you're betting on that game, you might want to go to a meeting where they have really bad coffee and donuts and put the chairs in a semicircle, because you have a couple of teams in the Sun Belt who are winless in conference and have 2 wins between them. Maybe a little more entertaining is the ESPN game from Greenville, North Carolina. Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. Temple at East Carolina. You know, that, you remember what were we talking about the week before last? Oh, I said, what would you get a better percentage on of a quiz? If we said, if I gave you the rivalry, like Civil War, or if I gave you, what does Wisconsin, Minnesota play for?
Broken chair. Paul Bunyan.
How about if you went around, I guess the Power Five, and named the stadium? Or would you do better if I told you, asked you, you know, where does Florida play?
In Florida.
Yeah, you're a lot of help.
And
the
swamp.
And by the way, you always have been a lot of help.
Do you mean
not the nickname?
Gainesville. The city or the name of the stadium?
Ooh, by the way, both good ones. If I, you know, if I said who plays in Gainesville, I'll guarantee you, because we're insane and we live in a college town and do this, I think if you ask the average sports fan, there'd be a lot more trouble to name where, like, South Carolina is or...
Charleston?
No.
Oh, okay.
Columbia.
Oh, okay. Another C state.
Yeah. So, because there's some really great names, like Cincinnati plays in Nippert Stadium. You know, if you knew where South Alabama is, first of all, we would just bring you in because you would need years of therapy, unless you were from Mobile. It's Ladd Peebles Stadium. I'm almost jealous. And obviously there's some easy ones. I'll tell you what, I have a big chunk of friends. Most of my family are they know their stuff a little bit, but they're not going to be able to tell you like where Nebraska plays or something like that. But like I wouldn't have known until just Lincoln. Now where does Lincoln loved mayonnaise. Would Kansas? I know they're in Lawrence, but I had no idea. First of all, you probably have a 1-3 shot if you just said like Memorial Stadium.
Death Valley? Do they play? Is it called?
That's
Death
LSU
Valley?
And Clemson are nicknamed.
And then
Death
there's
Valley.
The actual Death Valley.
What's the name of Penn State's stadium? It makes no sense.
Well, no, they play in Happy Valley, but right. It's not called Happy Valley Stadium. Isn't it Nittany something? Well, they're the Nittany Lions.
No, it's Beaver Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I think I had an idea because we're so used to calling it Ann Arbor or the Big House. Do you actually know the real name of the stadium where Michigan plays? I didn't. I'm telling you, I just learned this 17 seconds ago.
Is it Jim Harbaugh's Khaki Emporium?
No, but I really wish it was. It's actually just called Michigan Stadium.
Oh, that's so boring.
But
no, that's really.
But
that's
did you know that?
That's incredibly boring. Like, they didn't name the stadium after anybody, after all of the good people and coaches that have come through Michigan. None of them were good enough to be like,
right.
You know what? Let's not call the stadium where Michigan plays Michigan Stadium because, you know, oh, it's the Big House. Like, that's cool, too. Like, just give it a nickname. At least name it after somebody cool.
So don't answer right away because I like to give the folks driving around a moment or two. So if I said Bowling Green is playing the Fighting Irish this week, what's the name of the building that they play in?
Under the Shadow of the Touchdown Jesus.
Yeah, because that is that sponsored? It's Notre Dame
Probably
Stadium.
Probably by Nissan.
I did know this, but only because we have some Florida fans. I got some family who live in Florida. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville.
It sounds like a bad that, Family Guy character.
Actually, it sounds like somebody ate something bad that didn't agree with them. So, yeah, you go on and on like that. And actually, now where Kansas State plays followed suit to what you just said. They recently renamed it Bill Snyder Family Stadium,
right.
After the coach who basically saved the program.
And then he left, and then they saved the program, and they named the stadium after him when he left, and then he came back and had to save the program. Yeah, at that point, you should name, like, Kansas State should just be Bill Snyder University, just KSU to BSU.
What if we went through the conference and the stadiums they played in? I think we got one pretty nailed. Should we start in the South? It's always harder there. Utah.
Not a clue.
Rice-Eccles Stadium. Trojans, the Mausoleum. Arizona State is what? You never heard that?
It's a good joke.
Oh, I heard that years ago. Because it's like it holds 387,000 people. So if like 80,000 people show up, it looks empty. It's completely ridiculous. It's so big.
I did always like when USC in their early 2000 heyday, and then it's just like they show the big shots overhead, and then just like that one corner, entire half of the stadium is just like tarped over with retired numbers, or they have that one little
sash. sad, big for California.
Oh yeah, and they've got that like sad little stand that they bring in behind the end zone because like you could fit another football field like behind the end of the football field. Oh man, yeah, I've never.
Now ASU, I know, plays in Sun Devil Stadium. UCLA, the Rose Bowl, but we always consider and refer to, especially since the game 10 years ago, the stadium in Tucson, the Zona Zoo. But does anybody actually know what the name of the, I don't even want to say stadium because that might give a hint, which I just did. I didn't know this. It's Arizona Stadium.
Man, why?
And by the way, that's really original.
Well, yeah, it's just like, okay, we're in Arizona, we're Arizona University.
There's a stadium there.
There's a stadium. Wow, what could we name it? Arizona Stadium.
What will happen next? Colorado plays at Folsom Field. I think we got here covered. Washington is a namesake stadium for the some of them are just named after either the university or the mascot. It's Husky Stadium. Stanford Stadium. You know where Washington State plays? And don't
Pullman.
Say Pullman, you wise ass.
Thank you.
Martin Stadium. California is also Memorial Stadium. Oregon State, Reeser Stadium. And there you go. You can go. There's a lot of Memorial Stadiums, by the way. And why that is, I'm sure it has to do something with the tribute to the military. But it just goes on and on. You got Cal. You got Nebraska. You've got Oklahoma. I think Missouri might be Memorial Stadium.
I would like to go to, like, Big Ten country and, like, go to a tailgate and be like, hey, do you know what city the University of Oregon and Oregon State play in? Because I think more people get Corvallis and Eugene and Beavers and Ducks confused than we think. Because I don't know if it's maybe just like my dentist back in San Jose. He'd be like, hey, still going to school up in Oregon, right? Rooting for the Ducks up in Corvallis at Oregon State. And I'm like, oh, you're 1 for 3, really close. You got two of them, but, you know, no, it's just University of Oregon and Eugene for the Ducks. Just, you know, try and get that together. I feel like if there's somewhat of a knowledgeable sports person who knows of both of them but doesn't know enough to get the cities down and, like, have it remembered. Like, I can't name every city, like, that a Big Ten school plays in or whatever, mostly because they're all named after the state that they play in rather than a city, which most universities are.
I bet you I can get all the Big Tens. But anyway, somebody just noted that it's kind of interesting that Reeser Stadium is the only sponsored stadium. Everything else is its namesake.
Doesn't UW have a big Alaska Airlines ad?
It might
on their
be,
field?
But it's not called Alaska Air Stadium.
Right.
There's
okay.
A big difference from accepting sponsorships. And it's Mishy Stadium where West Point plays. Somebody wanted to know that. And the Naval Academy plays at a stadium which is pretty unique in its name. It's Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. So there you go. Point taken. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Man, you go through some of the independents. By the way, New Mexico State's an independent now. Aggie Memorial Stadium. How about Massachusetts? The Minutemen play at McGurk Alumni Stadium. That is completely made up. By the way, another one, a legendary coach synonymous with the program, BYU now for the last several years has played at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. All right, before we take a break, man, we just should name this show Rabbit Hole. I want to remind you, go to our website, 953thescore.com, and play Predict a Score for the Cal game this week. And you could win some sweet loot. Get yourself $50 prepaid Visa card, a Duck t-shirt, a Duck hat. You got some Duck water cups. You'll win 4 VIP tailgate passes to our tailgater, which we have 2 hours before every home game. And it's sponsored by Oregon Community Credit Union. And the Duck card, you can get 5 points per dollar when you use your Duck card to buy Duck tickets and merchandise. Learn more at myoccu.org/ducks. Again, go to 953thescore.com and look into your crystal ball and play Predict a Score. All right, with that said, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go and bring in Josh. Josh, how's it going?
Hey, good. Yeah, I just called to chime in because you were talking about the Husky Stadium thing, and I actually just Googled it recently because I saw the big Alaska Airlines sign on the side of the stadium. And technically, it's Alaska Airlines Field at Husky Stadium is what they call it now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so it does have a sponsorship, but it's like the field has a name, but it's still Husky Stadium.
All right. Now, we've heard that before, but the name of the stadium is Husky Stadium.
Yeah. And incidentally, another funny story, I don't know if you saw this or not. You can Google it, but the Miami Heat put up naming rights for their arena for a company.
Yeah.
And the highest bidder so far is a porn company.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I forgot what the name of it was, and from what I remember, we probably shouldn't say it.
No, we shouldn't, but I would think the fan appreciation nights would be interesting.
And by the way, why does Miami make sense more than even L.A.? I don't know why, but it does.
No idea. I just think that it's kind of funny because the highest bidder so far is that, because the NBA is never going to let that happen. But I don't think there's a rule in place, though, to keep them from bidding. So
that's brilliant. That's good. Hey, thanks, Josh. Somebody said, what are some of the other sponsored stadiums? Texas Tech, AT&T, Jones AT&T Stadium. Did Boone Pickens buy the stadium name for the one in Stillwater? I'm not 100% sure. But there are other ones. I'll do some research, but that's a good question as well. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll have an update and more crunch time. 95.3 The Score.
Crunch time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
And the 1-2 on the way, and a fastball swung on and missed, and that'll do it. The Tampa Bay Rays get a great pitching performance from four different pitchers, play stellar defense tonight, hit four home runs, and the celebration is on the infield right now for the Rays.
That was last night's snoozer. That was one of those deals I kept checking in. All right, Oakland's up. Let me check in. Wow, 1-2-3. All right, seventh inning. 1-2-3. Eighth inning. Game. It's literally the opposite of the night before, where there was barely a pulse. And St. Louis trailing 1-0 has put the putting a little bit of heat on Dallas Keuchel, as Dexter Fowler walked. There was a man on second, and what did I say is always a good running lead, like five steps. I counted seven, and it was with a big lead off second, stealing third, and that ironically was kind of what St. Louis was their specialty. I mean, the go-go Cardinals of the mid-80s, they stole a bunch of bases. They had me and Willie McGee and Vince Coleman. Tommy Herr could run. But of course, they played on that rug and everything was just beaded into the ground and go speed, 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 speed. But now they have a chance to tie this thing up with one out and a man on third against Keuchel. Before we went to the break, as we welcome you back to Crunch Time, and should you be in the mood to contribute to our little daily program here, 284-8571, your Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, as a little punch to the right side, and that will tie this game up. Man, I love professional hitting. That guy just gave up his at-bat, threw the barrel of the bat on an outside pitch, slow roller to second, no chance to get Bader coming home. And how much of a rarity is that these days? I'm going to say something, and for those who've been following baseball for a while, it used to be a common phrase. The St. Louis Cardinals have manufactured a run. There was no homer. There was no gapper. They got a runner on, moved him over, stole third, and the hitter just kind of threw the bat at the ball, Dexter Fowler. Bader scores easy, and we're all tied up in the top of the fifth in the National League the first game of the divisional series. So going into break, we were trying to figure out how many Power 5 football stadiums are sponsored, and I think we've come up with 8. Reser Stadium is one in this conference, but there's an interesting one. I don't know what the deals are with the Pitt Panthers because they play in Heinz Field, which is where the Steelers play. And Miami, the Canes, and the Dolphins share Hard Rock Stadium. The University of Minnesota, that's a relatively new facility. They play at TCF Bank Field. Louisville plays at Papa John's Stadium. Rutgers, High Point Solutions Stadium. But then again, it's Rutgers, and they have no solutions.
I was going to say, of all of the schools that I absolutely would have thought had sponsors, Rutgers being the football program that they are and have been for quite some time, a company wanting to attach their name to that.
Why?
Ooh.
Kentucky plays at Kroger Field. That should ring a bell. They own Fred Meyers. And I think the oldest one, wasn't there a story about this some months ago, how they tried to get out of it? The Carrier Dome in Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. So that's, I thought...
it's like a lifetime deal or something that they tried to get out of it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people thought for so long that Carrier wasn't like the name of a person or something like that for the Carrier Dome. But whoever struck up the deal, like literally like, you know, in the 40s or whatever...
Actually, I think it was the 70s.
70s, yeah. They were just like, yeah, we'll pay you $1 a year or whatever. And Syracuse is just like, wait, we can make $2 a year? Yeah, we'll make $2 a year then.
Yeah, I think Carrier is the heating and refrigeration company that you see the advertisements for. So those are the only ones I can come up with. There's not even a question. Memorial Stadium is the most dominant name. Then you have the second most dominant would be the name of the mascot stadium, which I saw a few of them. Lavelle Edwards Stadium in Provo and Bill Snyder Family Stadium in the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas, named after coaches. There were a couple of those. Bobby Dodd Stadium, where Georgia Tech plays. There's some really unique names that probably date back to a much earlier time that I don't even recognize who the hell they are. But anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. As far as tonight, we're going to be bringing you NFL football. It's a very big first week of October game. And we're going to bolt out of here at 5:15, Rams-Seahawks, with a big one as Los Angeles is in bounce-back mode from not only a tough loss, but, I first was kind of throwing some notes together for this segment, and I was like, well, that's out of character. And it's like, I think the Ram defense the last 2 years has a better reputation than an actual documented on-field performance. Last year, by the numbers, they were 20th in points allowed. It's not terrible, but I would have figured they were, top 10, top 12, maybe better than that. But the bottom line was they were second in points scored. I don't know if I'd just been misled by the narrative that we hear from some of the national broadcasters or national networks, but they've got fantastic playmakers. Teams now seem to be loading up to make sure that Aaron Donald isn't the one who's making plays in the backfield and crashing the pocket. I mean, this is a guy who's the reigning AP Defensive Player of the Year. He had 20 and a half sacks last season. He's got one this year. And while wildly popular and accomplished, a couple of guys who were putting up numbers this year, but remember, they brought in Eric Weddle to play safety from the Ravens. He's now 34. Man, I remember when he was a great player at Utah. He's making a fair amount of tackles. Of course, the Green Bay Packers decided not to offer Clay Matthews a new deal. He's now 33. He actually, now healthy, may have found a little bit of the fountain of youth, because he's got at least one sack in every game, two in another. So is it possible at his age that he reverts back to the all-pro caliber player he was in his heyday with the Pack? They've got Aqib Talib on one corner, very accomplished player, really successful, great cover guy. He's now 33, but then, you know, what the heck happened last week against the Bucks was just nuts. So thoughts on your Seattle Mariners? Getting ready to take the field in about an hour and a half. The Thursday nighter. Boy, what a great play. Man on second. By the way, after the Cardinals tied it, you had a man on second after a double, and then a line shot up the middle. Boy, that's a great play. Good balance by their outstanding young shortstop.
Dansby Swanson.
I was going to call him Albies. It's like, well, you got the half the double play combination correct, but that's not really correct at all. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I'm looking ahead. Tomorrow morning, I'll be live at the IHOP at Gateway for a Friday Duck Talk brought to you by Bi-Mart. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about what happened during the bye, as well as the return of some Ding Duck players, in particular the wide receiving core with Brendan Schooler and Micah Pittman. Jake Hansen expected to be back in the lineup, and obviously take a Pigaloo ahead at Cal. And we would love to see you down there, the IHOP at Gateway in Springfield from 8 to 9. You could listen to it on our sister station, 96.1 KZL. And IHOP, generous enough to not only offer their A-plus hospitality, but offer you free duck pancakes if you show up for Friday Duck Talk. Again, it's brought to you by Bi-Mart, hosted by moi, and on the radio, 96.1 KZL. And, of course, we've got all the action all season long. Listen to Oregon Duck football right here on KUJZ 95.3, The Score. Did I mention what the college games were? Or did I say, oh, there's an interesting stadium name, and end up going down a rabbit hole?
Yeah, you mentioned one stadium or one matchup with one stadium name, and then we disappeared. And we just now got out of it, but we started right where we started. And I'm really, honestly, we could fall down the exact same rabbit hole a second time here if you really wanted to.
All right, yeah, I said Georgia Southern at South Alabama. That's ESPNU from, who was paying attention, Ladd Peebles Stadium. And then we get Temple East Carolina at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium to go with the Major League Baseball playoffs, to go with the NFL. Hey, it's one of these things. Flip, 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 flip. There, you got it. Nailed it. Nailed it. All right, let's wrap it. I'll take a break. We'll be back. The lightning round puts the cherry on top of the crunch time Sunday on a Thursday next. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Verona once more looking for Oshie. They crisscross. Verona shot! Score! He won it! No placer show! He won it! Verona in overtime! And the Capitals take game one of their season in overtime, 3-2.
Yeah, Doc Emmerich, knowing he's got Eddie Olchuk alongside him, who's a big horse racing guy for NBC, threw in a little no placer show. He won it as the last two Stanley Cup winners face off, and the 2018 Cup champs take out the I guess what's why they call them the Blues, 3-2. Nice goal, too. Hold it, skate around to the left. In on goal, wrist shot, boink, top shelf, ball game, puck game. All right, it is the Thursday edition of Crunch Time. It's the final segment on a Thursday. What do you say we start with this?
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's the first October lightning round. There's so much going on. My head is spinning around. So let's just get to it and just please hit me with a lightning round.
You started strong, but the ending was...
I got exhausted. Yeah, it was an admission.
You literally got tired there. The best sport in the world returned last night. I couldn't be happier. The storylines for this season in the NHL are as strong as ever. Can Toronto get over their Boston problem? Will Tampa rebound from the worst collapse in NHL history? Can the Knights keep their hot run going into their third season ever? Will the Oilers figure out the use of Connor McDavid? And probably a slightly more interesting storyline to everyone else, who will lead the NHL in goals?
Whoa.
For two of the last seasons in a row, and five of six, it's been the Capitals' Alexander Ovechkin. He has 659 goals after scoring in the season opener last night for his 15th in the NHL. The Great Eight has, that's exactly what I was saying. I don't know how I wrote that twice. He's topped 50 goals eight times in his career, and outside of the 2016-17 season, he's gotten at least 45. The dude can flat out score. As I said, the last 2 years, Ovi's led the league 49 and 51, and with the history, he's the odds-on favorite to lead the league in goals again. John Tavares of Toronto and Connor McDavid of Edmonton are two of the other top three favorites, according to Vegas. And with the season already in after one night, I can tell it's going to be a tight one. Who leads the NHL in goals scored? Ovi, Tavares, McDavid, or the field?
I'm going Connor McDavid. He scored one already, and I think this is one of those years. He scored 40 back-to-back seasons. I think he gets in the mid-50s and wins it.
All right. The poor Oakland A's cannot catch a break. Like, literally, in a sport where one game samples mean next to nothing, the A's are 0 for their last 8 in winner go home games. Oakland hasn't won a playoff series since 2006 when they swept the ALDS over the Twins. And before that, you have to go back to 1990, which was the last of their three straight trips to the World Series. Three of those last 8 losses have come in wild card games, which has to suck because you go from regular season baseball into a Game 7 atmosphere. Then an all time bad stretch from 2000 through 2003, where they lost 4 straight ALDS series in 5 games, and then in 2012 and 2013, they lost again in 5 games. The phrase, every blind nut eventually finds a squirrel, clearly doesn't apply to the A's in winner-take-all games. The A's 8-game winner-go-home losing streak is blank.
Painful for fans. All I do is default right to the fan base who's with them for all 162, roster turnover, lack of keeping free agents, and we're in it again. It's going to, oh my God, again.
The same thing over and over again. It used to be commonplace that the two best teams in baseball played each other in the World Series, mostly because the playoff format was like, hey, you guys played a ton of games all summer long riding on trains through the hot summer, and you need to get back to your winter jobs here soon, so let's just get this over with. With the addition of more playoff rounds and the wild card, and baseball just being super random on a pitch-to-pitch basis, we haven't seen the two best regular season teams playing each other in the Fall Classic. We've gotten close. Last year, the Red Sox were the best regular season team and won the World Series. Same goes for the 2016 Cubs. 2017 was even better since the Dodgers and Astros both had 100-plus wins, and that was the first time in forever that that had happened. But the Astros came in second in the AL that year in wins, and we're getting closer. The last time two teams with the best record in their league played in the World Series was 2013, when the Red Sox and Cardinals both had 97 wins, and it feels like we're due for another thriller this year. All three division winners in the American League had 100 games, so did the Dodgers. And how great would it be that not only we get the two best teams in baseball, but two 100-game winners and a World Series rematch? And that's exactly what we'd get if the Astros and Dodgers get through what's going to be a wild October. What percent chance do you give the World Series being Dodgers, Astros?
Oof. You know, normally I would kind of whack it up and say a third, but they're just the best teams in their leagues, so I'm going to give them 50-50, because it basically comes out to I give them each a 75% chance to win, so I whack it up and land that 50-50.
Fair enough. At the other end of the playing in the World Series spectrum is the who are we going to hire next year in the hopes of just making it to October club. There are a lot of teams that fall into that category every year. Most are really too far away to care. Miami, Baltimore, Detroit, Seattle, etc. Others have their managers in place, but maybe just had a bad season. Boston, Cleveland, Oakland, Milwaukee. And then there are the teams that think they're close right now, and they just need a new man to be the new guy to come in and do it. To me, this is the Mets, Angels, and Phillies. The Mets fired Mickey Callaway today after just 2 years in charge with zero playoff appearances. The Angels stuck around with Mike Socha for 19 years and just one World Series, but bounced Brad Ausmus out of town after just 1 year. And while the Phillies have yet to let Gabe Kapler go, he's after only improving by one win after adding Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto, the team isn't really giving off a big positive vibe out of Philly. The top candidate that everyone is tapping to fill all three positions is former Cubs manager Joe Maddon. Obviously, he can't coach all three at the same time. Would be impressive if he could. But one team out there is going to give him something close to the $6 million he was making with the Cubbies. So who will it be? Where will Joe Maddon manage next season? The LA Angels, the Mets, Phillies, or other?
I'm saying the Angels. Ooh. I just think there's a connection to where he started, his relationship with Moreno. It's got a young nucleus with an opportunity to get better. So that's my call.
All right.
You happy now? Are you happy we did that?
Yeah.
All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Looking ahead to the 4 o'clock hour, I would like to talk some NFL. I would like to talk some Pac-12. We are going to talk some Cal-Oregon as we bring in Todd McKim of the Cal Bears Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Excuse me. They do that as well. And we'll keep you updated. Obviously, a big night in Major League Baseball. If we got a matinee going on, 1-1 between Atlanta and St. Louis. And Nick was asking about, the Doyers, and they're going to start their big series with the Nats. Real good pitching matchup. Pat Corbin and Walker Buehler. By the way, two people texted in agreeing that Connor McDavid would lead the league in goal scoring. I didn't know beside me and you and the guy with the Vegas exchange had that many NHL fans following, especially this early. I know Brad's a big Washington fan, but he actually also texted, go Knights, go Nick. So
no.
Rub it in the face.
You can only have one. It's no Knights or it's no Nick. How about that?
All right. Good luck in prison. All right. We'll be back.
Good luck in prison.
Sports Talk is next. 95.3, the Skrull. The score. The what?
What did we just see? Holy smokes!